When you see a play titled Figaro, the mind leaps to the opera, The Marriage of Figaro, which leads to the logical question, why would I want to see the story about the comic rogue Figaro without Mozart's music? Put logic aside, it seems Mozart's librettist, Lorenzo di Ponte, had a great comic sensibility. Though perhaps not a farce of the stature of Molière, this is a work that could play any dinner theater in the country. Actually, let's give the credit for that to contemporary playwright Charles Maury, who adapted the opera story. He's kept the period style, but adds flavor with funny theatrical touches and some modern colloquialisms. All these elements work to make Figaro appealing to present-day audiences. Maury captures the farcical nature of the story that has Figaro manipulating his employer in order to gain the right to marry his love, Suzanne. The complicated path to success happens because mistaken identities, sexual intrigues, doors slamming, escapes through open windows, and deceptions that include cross-dressing, counterfeit letters, and bogus legal arguments. Indeed, the work has almost too many plot twists, to the point that the ending seems 10, 15 minutes too long, even though the show only runs about 2 hours. The play works best when Figaro is on stage. Chris Anderson is a delightfully kinetic actor who brings energy and intensity to the role. Though he's delightfully comic while manipulating others, he's also worth paying attention to while he's just watching others. One of Anderson's many talents is being totally in the moment, no matter what he's doing on stage, even if he's just doing nothing. And Figaro thinking is fun to watch. Anderson's comic timing is superb, and he creates a true rascal. The problem with such a performance is when Anderson is not on stage, the action slows. His interaction with Sazel Wasserbach as Suzanne is charming. It becomes clear that the fast-talking Figaro is a clever manipulator, but Suzanne is smarter and shrewder. They make a terrific team. However, when in scenes where Wasserbach plays against the Count and Countess, the mood and pace slackens. Though the comic conceits are still funny, the comedy becomes more deliberate and even plotting. Thankfully, playwright Maury develops three characters who, like Shakespeare's clowns, appear for little purpose other than to generate laughs. Because they were all played by Jack Fallon, who pushes to the limit the theory that you can't be too broad in farce, the laughter is as sincere as it is necessary. A 9-person cast in community theater is rather large, and with large casts, the level of quality varies. However, though the play has weak spots, fortunately the actors are able to be convincing with comic types, even if they don't always create comic characters. The set, designed by Andy Yates, is not up to Curtin Call's recent high standards. Though the play has enough exits and entrances that are used well, the sides are of a billowing material that is distracting. In the second act, the director has actors moving them to enter or leave, destroying theatrical illusions in the process. That director, Barbara Richards, understands the need for a quick, almost frenzied pace for a farce, and when she gets it right, the play is really a delight. And when she doesn't, Figaro still has enough entertainment value to be a pleasant theatrical diversion. Figaro plays at Curtin Call Theater in Latham through March 22nd. Performances run Thursday through Sunday. Tickets can be had by calling 877-7529. This is Bob Geffert from the Troy Record.